This interview is being conducted on December 4th, 2012 with Mr. Angelo Rubino at the Indian Prairie Public Library in Darien, Illinois. My name is Deb Barrett. Mr. Rubino was born on July 7th, 1926 in Chicago, Illinois. He is a retired accountant who was contacted for the Veterans History Project by the Indian Prairie Library. Also with us today is Bushra Mubin, a volunteer at the library. Mr. Rubino has kindly consented to be interviewed for this project. Here is his story. Angelo, where were you living just before you went into service? What was your
in
life
Chicago.
Like?
In Chicago. I was a student, high school student.
You were a high school student?
Well, yeah.
What school?
Crane Tech.
Okay.
In Chicago.
Okay. And you were, did you finish high school?
Oh, yeah.
So you graduated?
Yes, I did.
And when did you go into the service?
About 3 months after graduation.
Were you enlisted? Were you drafted?
No, I'm drafted.
Okay. And was there a, how did your family feel about you being drafted?
I guess they weren't too happy about it, but yeah. It happens. You know, I had to go. And I went down for a physical about 3 months after graduation. I graduated in June, and in October I was down taking a physical.
Okay.
And passed the physical, and they shipped me right out to Fort Sheridan without going home from there.
That was fast.
Yeah, my parents didn't know where I was until sometime later, the next day or two. They didn't know what happened to me. We had no telephone at that time. And so we just, finally they found me at Fort Sheridan.
So your parents found you, or?
Yeah, they found me.
Okay. Was there any history of military service in your family?
No.
So this was kind of, the whole experience was new for your family.
Right. Right.
Okay. What year were you drafted?
Was that
what year?
1944.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the draft was not something new. It was just.
Oh, it was on. Everybody was going. You know, been drafted earlier, from 41 to 44. Most of my friends were in the service by then.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So you said you went for a physical.
Right.
Where did you go for your physical?
Downtown Chicago.
Okay.
And
Was it a regular military station, military installation?
It was kind of an office building, yeah, where they did this kind of thing. You know, I wasn't alone. I had a whole bunch of people.
Okay. So was it one of those instances where there were all the guys in the room just lined up going through?
Yeah.
Okay. So what did they do? Was it just a physical or?
Yeah, it was a brief physical. They check your dental and
make
your
sure.
pressures and stuff like that, that type of thing.
Okay.
Right.
And so when you passed, what was your next step? You said they took you right away?
Well, you raise your right hand and you take the pledge that I accept going in the Army.
You are in the Army.
Yes. Well, okay. They offer you whether you want to be a Navy, Army, or Marine. You know, they ask you what your choice would be.
And did you choose Army?
I choose Navy, but I went Army.
Did they tell you why you went into the Army instead of the Navy? You just said, this is what I want. And they said, well, this is where you're going.
This is where you go.
Okay. So you said you went to Fort Sheridan.
They put us on a train and took us out to Fort Sheridan. And they give you all your equipment, your clothing and your shoes
in
Fort Sheridan. And so you're there about a day or two, and I think they give us some tests. And determine where you're going to go from there, you know. And so they put us on another train. I was assigned Well, you don't know where you're going, really.
Okay.
They put you on a train and you're on your way to, and I ended up in Texas.
Okay, so how long were you at Fort Sheridan then?
A couple of days, maybe 3-4 days.
Okay, so you got your clothing, you got all your gear.
Right.
And what were your sleeping quarters like, your living quarters while you were there?
Well, there were barracks with bunk beds.
Okay.
And 50 guys in a room.
Did you have to share a room when you were living at home?
No.
So this was a little different for you.
A little different, right.
And what did you do for those 3 or 4 days while you were at Fort Sheridan?
Well, they had us assigning, they had a big coal pile, and they had us shoveling coal through a little window into this building.
Uh-huh.
So that they could, the coal was outside.
Right.
They wanted it inside, so you shoveled. They had about 10 of us shoveling coal to remove the coal and get it inside.
Okay.
And so I don't know what else we did, but they were just kind of laying around maybe after that.
Did they start you with a routine of waking you up at a certain time?
Well, I don't remember that, but I assume that, you didn't sleep in bed.
Okay.
Late, you know.
So, and then a few days later, they just put you on a bus and you
on
were
a train.
Off. I'm sorry, on a train, and you were
a dirty off. Old train.
A dirty old train.
Yeah.
And what did you think when you were on that train? What do you remember about?
Well, you're with a bunch of people, guys, and everybody's talking.
Uh-huh.
There was a dice game going.
Okay.
As I can remember. And you just go along, that's all.
Was it a troop train or was it just a civilian
troop.
Train that
no,
you were all on?
No, it was a troop train.
It was a troop train.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and you said you went down to Texas?
Yes.
Where in Texas?
Camp Hood, Texas. That was where we took I took my basic training.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how long did it take you to get down there?
It took a couple of days. The train doesn't go directly.
Okay.
They stop, make stops and stuff like that. So I think, as I remember, it took a couple of days to get there.
Uh-huh.
And then they pick us up in Texas and assign us to different barracks.
Okay, so you're on the train. Did you make some friends along the way?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Most of the people on the train were from Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them were even from Crane High School, I knew.
Some of your classmates.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
What was the talk like on the train going down?
Oh,
were all
just,
young guys just
oh,
not
yeah.
sure?
Well, yeah. Whatever, how it is when a bunch of guys get together.
Yeah. Okay.
And.
So you went down. You said there's a dice game going.
Yeah.
Just sort of amusing yourselves.
Yeah, yeah.
And what did they do for food? Did they have lunches for you in another car or?
No, I think they must have. I don't remember exactly, but I think they passed out sandwiches and stuff like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And when you got down to Texas, to Fort Hood.
Fort Hood.
What happened? What was your reception like there?
Well, line up and get in the barracks.
Okay, so you met your sergeant?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, it was what they call cadre.
Okay.
They were former. They were in service.
Uh-huh.
And they were overseas people, most of them. There was about 4 men there.
Okay.
They were had previously been in overseas, and they were coming back, and they were to the people that were going to train us.
Okay.
And so they slept in the same barracks with us.
Okay.
They had private rooms, though, not in the wide open space that we had.
So it was the same kind of barracks as you were in at Fort Sheridan?
Yeah.
The bunk beds?
And... Yeah. Okay. The issue of rifles and more clothing, I guess.
So what was a typical day like for you there?
Well, they take you out, get you up early, get breakfast.
How did they wake you up?
just wake you up in the morning, early in the morning. The sergeant comes out.
Okay.
And make sure everybody's up.
Uh-huh. Gently, I'm sure.
Yeah. And you get dressed, and you stand outside, and they have roll call, you know.
Uh-huh.
And then you go to breakfast.
You had to make your bed?
Yeah, you have to make your bed. Yeah. You had foot lockers in front of the bed.
You had to have those a certain order, certain
Yeah.
way. What happened if they weren't?
Well, they inspected you and they checked to see that you weren't pretty sloppy, you know, with anything. Uh-huh. So that, your bed is made. And every now and then you get a inspection by the commander, the captain or something comes through and they check you out.
Anyone ever have any problems with inspections or?
No.
Everyone was pretty good.
Yeah, it was pretty good, yeah.
Okay.
Nobody liked the sergeant, but.
That was his job,
he was
right?
It was kind of a guy that you didn't really fall in love with, you know.
He was something of a taskmaster, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you remember his name?
No. I know he was from the South. He was a Tennessee man, I think.
Okay.
And a veteran, of course, overseas right. veteran. The captain was an overseas veteran. It was our commander.
Okay.
He was pretty nice, though. Richter, I think. The captain's name was Richter, I think.
Richter, okay.
Yeah. And then after breakfast, they line you up for calisthenics. Yeah, maybe whatever their plan was, a hike or something like this, or obstacle course, different types mm-hmm. of training programs. And then eventually you went on a rifle range. You learned to shoot a gun.
Had you ever shot a gun before?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I used to hunt with my father.
Okay, so that was nothing new for you?
No.
Okay.
So, and it's just all part of the training, the pistol, the rifle,
right.
and bayonet, that type of thing. You know, so.
Okay. Did you have some classroom training, too?
Yeah, they show you how to take a rifle apart, put it together again, clean it, and that type of thing. So.
Okay. Did they tell you anything special about your rifle?
Not really.
Okay. All right, so some men have told us that they were very adamant about keeping your rifle with you at all times.
Well, yeah.
You
don't leave it lay around.
That's right.
Yeah.
So. Okay. So how long was your basic training there?
It was about 13, 14 weeks that we were there.
Okay. Were you able to contact your family during this time?
Yeah, you could write letters. And my parents didn't have a phone, so I couldn't call, but you just write letters. There was a girl that we knew,
uh-huh.
very friendly with my mother, and she would kind of read the letters and talk to my mother about it, because my mother was foreign. She came from the old country.
What was the old country?
Italy.
Italy, okay.
Yeah. So this girl would kind of help out with that type of stuff.
Right.
So.
Could you get packages?
Yeah, you could get packages. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It was during when we were taking our basic, they had what was in Germany or in Europe, was they had what they called the Battle of the Bulge.
Right.
And they were starting to take people from our camp and sending them overseas, barracks by barracks, because they needed personnel in Europe.
So what did you think as you saw this?
We just waited until we got, they never got to our barracks, so they stopped.
Okay.
About three barracks before ours. So, and then we finished our basic training.
Do you remember when you finished it? What month?
It was after November, I think it was.
So close to Christmas.
Yeah, it was close. I was home, I think, for furlough for Christmas.
Okay.
After basic, they give you a furlough. I had lost a lot of weight.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted another jacket because what I had would look like a big sack. But they wouldn't give me another jacket. But I wasn't going to wait for it. I said, I'm going home.
And how long did you have at home?
About 10 days at home. And then I was to report to California from there.
Okay. How did you get from Texas back?
On a train.
On a regular civilian train?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a civilian train, yeah.
Did your family know you were coming?
I may have written them. I don't remember.
Okay.
I may have written them a letter and told them we were coming home furlough.
Well, you said you lost quite a bit of weight.
How
did your mom react when she saw you?
She put a lot of food on the table.
Want to get you back up again,
Yeah.
So
I had my 10 days, you know. I had a friend of mine. We were together in camp. This Frank, he lived in Chicago. And we were to spend our 10 days, uh-huh. you know, going around different places, lounges.
Had you known him before?
No, I hadn't met him in the camp. Yeah. But we had some common things. He had gone to Crane, and he's Italian, of course. And we just got together. We were just together all the time.
So you became good friends with
him? Yeah.
Okay. Was he headed out to California, too?
Oh, yeah.
Where in California were you headed?
Fort Ord.
Okay.
Yeah.
Around San Francisco?
It's San Francisco.
Yeah.
On the other side of it, yeah.
Okay. So that must have been hard for your family when you were leaving.
Oh yeah. It was just, you know, it's overseas from there.
Right.
So, we took a civilian train. We got a train, and I think we went to Los Angeles, and from Los Angeles. The military picked us up by truck or something and took us to Fort Ord, California, which is, I forget the name of the town. It's near Salinas and Monterey at that time.
Monterey, okay.
Yeah, and so we were there with more training, obstacle courses and that type of thing.
Was it specialized training for what you were going to be do?
No, we were just going to be infantry.
Just infantry, okay. Did you have an MOS? Your specialty?
No.
It was just infantry?
Infantry, yeah.
Okay. And you knew you were training for overseas. Sent you out to California.
Yeah.
Did you know which theater you were going to, the Pacific or Europe?
No, generally out of there you would go to
Pacific. Right.
Yeah. If you were going Europe, they would probably take you to the East Coast.
To the East Coast, right.
Yeah. So that's...
So how long were you at Fort Ord?
We were there for a couple of weeks, I think, as I remember. They said we couldn't get a pass unless you swam 20 yards in the middle of January outside. Real nice.
So you were stuck on base then?
No, I swam. I swam.
Okay.
And so I was getting my pass. And we'd go to Monterey or Salinas every night almost. You know, you're drinking beer and stuff or shopping or doing something. In those towns, that's what those towns were, and during those that period of time.
Right.
They were mostly taverns and souvenir shops is what they were.
Places for the servicemen.
Yeah, yeah. They had a bus that went from camp to the town.
Okay, so you could still communicate with home at this point?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So did they tell you when you would be going overseas?
No,
or
they
did
don't.
They tell you anything about what was going on?
No, no.
Nothing?
Just...
just whatever you read in the newspaper.
Right.
Okay.
So one day they put you on a ship, a troop ship, and you're out.
Do you remember the name of the ship you were in?
Yeah, it was a Pope, a General Pope at that time. 5,000 people on the ship.
Wow.
Troops. And they were feeding us breakfast and supper. By the time you went through the supper. With 5,000 people on the ship.
Was it a regular troop ship or was it a commercial ship that had been converted?
I think it was a converted ship. But,
okay. What were your accommodations like when you were there?
Oh, you better take the top bunk.
And why?
Some of the people get sick, you know?
Did you get the top bunk?
Yes, I did. The funny thing is that they fed us franks and beans before we left out of Fort Ord.
Okay.
And when you get underneath the Golden Gate Bridge, you're into the Pacific Ocean.
Right.
And the ship is rocking back and forth. And there were frank and beans all over the ship.
I can imagine.
It was terrible. Fortunately, I didn't get sick. I just kind of held on. I don't know how, but I held on. But it was all over the place. And so they finally got it all cleaned up, and we were out on the ship.
So you had grown up in Chicago. Had you traveled from there at all before this?
No.
So this was really your first time?
Really away from home.
Away from home,
right.
Down to Texas, and then down to California,
right.
Before leaving. So that must have been quite an experience to see the different landscapes and the mountains and all that.
Right, yeah.
Okay. So I'm sorry, how long did you say you were at Fort Ord?
Maybe a couple of weeks.
Okay.
Yeah.
And when you got on that ship, and you say about what was it like, what do you remember?
Well,
beside the
Franklin. Just a bunch of guys playing cards and just passing the time away. I could remember staying on the front of the ship as much as I could get and watch it go up and down. I didn't play much cards, you know.
Uh-huh. So what did you do besides standing on the bow of the ship?
Just talk.
Yeah.
Then hang around, trying to get some food. So we were out for 30 days on the ship from California to Luzon, wherever we wouldn't get off the ship. But in that time, we stopped. We made one stop. I think somebody said it was New Guinea, but nobody got off, nobody got anything. We just stopped for about a day there, and then we continued, and we crossed the equator twice.
Okay.
Crossed the equator once, very hot, and they have what they call King Neptune programs, and then we were gone for, and then we come back, cross the equator again.
So it was no longer your first crossing.
No.
So what happened with King Neptune? What was that first crossing?
Well, they have guys that kind of paddle you and that kind of stuff. It's just a lot of fun, I guess, that they have. It's hazing type thing.
You know. How many of you were making your first crossing?
Oh, it was the whole ship, 5,000 people going across.
Well, those guys who were hazing you, probably were very tired by the end of that time.
Yeah.
More first crossers, but.
It was very hot, though. You couldn't stay on that ship too long.
Uh-huh.
The metal gets so hot when you cross the equator. The metal gets so hot, you can't even stand on it. They tell you to stay inside.
Okay.
To stay out of it.
Okay. So, you said you stopped in New Guinea.
Yeah.
And, so you stopped in New Guinea, and for one day, but you stayed on the ship.
Yeah.
And then from New Guinea, where did you go to?
And just continued out on the water.
You said to Luzon?
And we ended up in Luzon, yes.
In the Philippines?
Yes.
Okay. And when you landed in the Philippines, where did you go? What were you living? What was it like?
Well, we were assigned to a replacement center where they pick people to go to different outfits that are in the area.
Okay.
And so we were there in the replacement center. I was in the replacement center for a couple of days or a day or two, and I got assigned to a, what they call 112th Cavalry combat team.
Okay.
Regimental combat team is what it is. It's 112th Cavalry. They were out of Texas.
Okay.
So they were out in the field. They had a camp there.
Uh-huh.
And,
what were your responsibilities in that movie?
We're assigned to a squadron, and we go out on patrol one day, next day or something. A lot of guard duty. You do guard duty every night in the area that we were. We'd have to do guard duty every night. It was a camp. We had tents.
Okay.
And
Yeah,
we had cots, yeah. So
okay.
You did two on and four off every night.
How many men were in the tent?
Well, it was probably eight men in the tent, maybe eight men. Some tents have four men in the tent, some have eight men, I think.
Okay.
I don't remember exactly how many were there, but we had about eight men, I would say, in a tent, like
okay.
A squadron.
Okay.
And then we'd go out and look for the enemy and then come back.
Did you ever find any?
No. We found dead ones.
Okay.
What
was that like the first time you saw that?
It was kind of smelly.
It had been there for a while.
Oh, yeah. It's
okay.
Terrible. If you were downwind, you could really... You knew something was coming up, you know.
Okay. That must have been, you were 18 at that time?
Yeah.
Still 18?
Yeah.
That must have been quite a shock the first time you come across that.
We don't forget it.
it sort of becomes, makes everything more real.
Yeah.
Okay, so what did you do when you would find the bodies?
Nothing. I didn't care.
Were you supposed to search them?
No, wouldn't touch them.
Okay.
The one I can remember was, he must have been laying there for several days.
Uh-huh.
He was kind of all bloated up, and the skin was opening up. It was
uh-huh.
cracking. He was so tight, you know.
Right.
And there were maggots crawling out of them, so you don't touch any of that stuff.
That made a real impression on you.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So you just leave it, you know, and you go away and leave it.
Mm-hmm. So on your way to the Philippines, by the way, you didn't run across anything unusual?
No.
Okay. And then when you got there, this was the first thing that you did. You were doing guard duty and
patrol work.
Right.
Yeah.
And you were a private at this point,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Were you able to communicate at home?
Oh, yeah, you can write letters, you know.
Were they censored?
I would think so, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
But nothing that you ever, nothing that was real obvious to you?
No.
Okay. No. You said you were doing 2 hours on and 4 hours off?
Right.
What did you do in your off time, besides sleep?
Well, you know, whatever you find to do, you maybe clean your guns and just chat with your other friends and stuff like this.
Card games, that kind of thing?
Card games, yeah.
Were you able to connect with any of the Filipino people?
Yeah, well, I used to have my laundry done by some of the Filipino people, the girl women that come around. They would do that kind of work.
You give them your
clothes, your laundry, and they would clean it, and press your shirts and stuff, and pants, fatigues. So you'd have, because it's so hot there, you're sweating all the time, and your clothes are almost white from the sweat.
Yeah, very different than Chicago.
Oh yeah, yeah, it's hot there all the time.
Yeah.
So. But I think we were doing some. They were building some Quonset huts, and maybe we'd help them out to do some construction work and stuff like that.
With the guarding you did you ever come across any? You said you came across dead bodies when you went on patrol.
Right.
Did you run into any situations where you met the enemy or saw the enemy anywhere?
Yeah, one time we were out on an outpost, and I happened to be looking through field glasses, and I saw a Japanese out there.
Okay.
One single man, and so I said to the sergeant, there's a Jap out there, and he says, well, let's go get him. So we went out, and he was a pretty sickly guy, and we brought him back in and gave him to the, they forward these people to for information, I guess, or something.
Okay.
This guy was,
they interrogated them.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
your time there was maybe quiet.
Yeah.
A little unsettling at times, but
yeah.
Quiet.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. How long were you there?
Till August when they dropped the bomb. We were going to start to take amphibious training for the invasion of Japan.
Okay.
And as we had moved to an area called Lingayen Bay, which is a big water area, and we were going to start taking amphibious training for the invasion. And then they dropped the first bomb, and it kind of, everybody got interested. And then 2 days later, they dropped the second bomb.
Right.
And then we heard the surrender is there.
Now, what did you hear about the two bombings when you were...
when we were in Lingayen Bay. We were living in a four-man tent, and
okay.
Getting ready to do the training for the invasion.
Was it something that was announced, or was it just...
It came down. It comes down, you know.
What did you think of when you heard about the bombing and what the bomb was?
Well, the second one, when the surrender came, I was pretty friendly with, in our tent. There was a man, he was an Indian, an American Indian, and he had been through quite a bit on the islands and stuff like that, overseas for several years. And him and I were pretty friendly. He could find whiskey in him. So when the surrender was announced, He said, let's go get some whiskey. So we ended up in some Filipino shack someplace, and we were drinking whiskey.
And, toasting it, huh?
Yeah. Eating fried bananas and drinking whiskey. So I got so bummed out, I left. I haven't seen the man since then.
Okay.
I'm sorry I didn't have his address or anything like that.
So
I don't know how I made it back to my camp, but I got back there.
So this must have really helped the mood of the whole camp.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He was quite a guy, this Indian. We used to call him the chief.
Okay. So you were supposed to be preparing for the invasion of Japan. Yeah. An invasion didn't happen, but you did go to Japan.
Yes.
How soon after the bombings did you go to Japan?
Well, September 2nd, I was sitting in Toledo Bay, next to the Missouri.
Okay.
And I witnessed the signing of the surrender.
Okay. Were you were next to the ship, not on the ship?
Well, we were close to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you could watch it.
So we could see it. And then after a while of the ceremony, MacArthur's a big showman.
Okay.
After the ceremony, they says, okay, we went down, we climbed down this net alongside the ship into the landing barge and went in as the invasion. No, we went. The 1st Cavalry Division went to Yokohama, and okay, we were assigned to the southern end of the island, the big island. So we did an invasion of the island, just like without firing a shot. You know?
Yeah.
And we hit this small coastal town. All these homes were there, and all the doors were wide open of the homes. And the people were gone. We walked right straight through, not firing a shot, no problem, or nothing.
And, did the people come back? Yeah.
We walked in about a mile to a schoolhouse, a wooden schoolhouse, two-story schoolhouse. And they set up in there, they brought cots. And we were in the classrooms where they put cots in. And that's where we were going to sleep. And then the people start coming back out of there are some hills around there and the fields, and they start coming back out. They saw that we weren't going to do anything.
Yeah. Did they ever tell you what their fears were?
No.
Did you talk to them or communicate with them at all?
No.
Okay.
And they set up what they call an ammo dump, an ammunition dump. And they were collecting from these camps, the military camps, they were collecting powder and guns and stuff, and burning this stuff.
Okay.
And I remember sitting in the kitchen of this schoolhouse, having a cup of coffee down there, and I see a big flash and an explosion. This is about 2 days after we were there. And I'm on the floor with the tables over me. Everything is flying around. I said,
sure what
oh, what is this Pearl Harbor, you know? So I jumped out the window. It was the first floor, and I went out the window and out running out the field. And there's all kinds of mortars coming down. And they're not exploding, just coming down.
Uh-huh.
I was with a couple of fellows with a boat, we were running, and wondering why they don't explode.
Right.
So we finally figured out that there's no detonator in there that exploded.
Okay.
But we didn't know what the bomb was about. So we come back and found out that it was somebody made a mistake at the ammo dump, and it blew up, and it was not the Japanese.
So they were just trying to destroy all the ammunition.
Yeah.
Okay.
they burnt all the powder so that it wouldn't explode.
Okay.
Somebody made a mistake someplace. It took off.
So while you were in Japan, how long were you there for you after time in Japan?
From September, about a year. Well, about a year, year and a half.
Okay.
About a year.
So that was a pretty long time.
Yeah.
Did you stay in the same area in Yokohama?
No. We moved north from where we landed, and we were accumulating these army camps.
And Japanese army camps.
Yeah, they were collecting all the military equipment. And we ended up it was like a cadet school, an Air Force, with it had a hangar and a airstrip.
Okay.
And we ended up, this outfit that I was with ended up there. And we were collecting from these different camps and storing the stuff into this hangar, the guns and the sabers and field glasses and everything. And that's where I had these four men working for me. I was assigned to this hangar with this lieutenant, him and I. And we had these four workers. They were Japanese workers, four men. And they would wait for the truck to come in and then unload the truck. They'd give me a count and all that kind of stuff. And I got real friendly with this one guy. I made him the straw boss. And I had a dictionary.
Okay.
That converted English to Japanese. And so I talked to him with this book. And
can you point to the word? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And he told me he had a family, kids, a couple of girls. And they were pretty raggedy looking guys.
Uh-huh.
I gave him soap. I gave him bar soap. And I used to give him cigarettes.
Uh-huh.
So that they have no problems with them, you know.
And, right.
And he wanted me to even come to his house. Meet his
I was
going to
ask if you met his family. Did you?
No, I didn't go. I wouldn't go. Because they lived, the camp was surrounded by a residential area.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't want to get into that area. I never went to his house. But he told me he had two kids and his wife.
Were you concerned about getting into the residential area? Or
yeah, I didn't know what really the feeling was, you know, because we were there. Let's see, the surrender was September, and maybe this is January or February. You never know what the feeling is there,
right.
Some of the people. But we never had a problem. Never had.
And
I never experienced any problems.
And that guy that you talked to was the one who gave you that knife?
Yeah.
Did he tell you anything about the knife, or he just wanted you to have it?
No, I told him we were going to finish working, and close up. And so that's the day he comes in with this knife, sharpening it up, and then we finished working, and I had a cake and some sake, and I gave him cigarettes, and we had in the office, we had a little party.
Uh-huh.
And these guys are, you know, they're partying, they're drinking and talking, the four Japanese guys. And this guy still had his knife, you know. So when the party's almost over with, he comes over and he says, "Presento," gives me the knife, and that was it. Then we left the next day from there. So we never seen those people anymore. But
So you were there, you said this was like January or so. So you were in Japan over Christmas.
Oh yeah.
As part of the army evacuation.
Yeah.
Christmas would normally be a big holiday for you back home.
Oh yeah.
What was it like being in Japan? Christmas. What did you do? How did you celebrate?
Well, just like, you know, they have the Army tries to give you something anyway. It's not like home, though.
So what was it like? What did the Army do?
I think they gave us a cake and you know, some cakes and goodies at the, other than the regular meals that they prepared for us.
Did they find a way to decorate for Christmas? Or?
I don't remember that, no.
Okay.
And then we, from there, I went to Tokyo from there.
Okay, and that would have been in when?
Around January.
Forty-six.
I was assigned to the 1st Cavalry Division there.
And what did you do? What were your responsibilities?
Mostly guard duty there. We'd go out to different places we used to guard at a hotel for women, and the rules were no men above the first floor.
And did that rule hold?
Well, some of them colonels were getting pretty rough. They had a bar and everything, and the girls would be drinking, the guys would be drinking, the colonels, mostly officers come, of course. Mm-hmm. You had USO girls and Army girls and all kinds of women there. And it was a two-story building. So, and they tried to go upstairs all the time. So we stood at the bottom of the stairs. Nobody went upstairs.
Did you know?
Yeah. Then we used to guard at a hospital. They had some Americans in the hospital. It was in Tokyo. Mm-hmm. And we used to guard outside. No problem. Next to the hospital, the street, mm-hmm. there was a kind of a shrine, a church, Japanese, with those...
Like a temple? Like a Shinto?
Roofs with the wings on them. So I got to talking to one of the men that worked there. I don't know if he was one of the priests or whatever he was. And he took me around and showed me. It was a crematory where they burnt most of the people. Uh-huh. And then he took me up to this tower, and they had boxes, wooden boxes of ashes, and they were marked June, B-29 raid, June something, and the date. And there were just boxes all over the place.
So what did you think when you said that?
I said, we did a good job.
Yeah, he was showing you the results, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess apparently whatever we did in the bombings, they must have took them over to this place and burned them all there, because uh-huh. there was just a whole bunch
them
of...
and kept the ashes there.
Yeah, right? Yeah. All stacked in boxes like that. And they had the number on it. And they were in hundreds there. Sometimes, some of the boxes.
The number of ashes, you mean?
The number of bodies, I guess, they represented. So that was interesting to see this guy.
Just calm? Just wanted you to show this to you, or?
Yeah.
He just wanted you to understand.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Some of the people were pretty friendly out there.
Yeah.
You know, the really hindsight tells you, or it tells me at least, that it wasn't really the people of Japan that wanted this war.
Right.
It was the military.
Uh-huh.
And because they were, when we got there, in, especially in Tokyo, the big cities, they didn't have any food, they didn't have gasoline.
Right.
I mean,
everything
they had cars
the
that had, they burned charcoal. They were burning charcoals in their car. They didn't have the gasoline. Their clothes were dirty and raggedy, old clothes they had. It just, I think they were glad to see us come in.
Uh-huh.
So
So you had a chance to meet some of the people.
Oh, yeah.
You had a chance to do a little touring around while you were there?
Oh, yeah. We used to go all over Tokyo, and even at night, nobody bothered us.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be alone, no, but...
But a couple of you would go around.
We would go out, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, where were you living at this time? You were still living in one of the schools?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It was right in Tokyo. It was some kind of a school or something that we had. In the classrooms, they'd set up cots and stuff. And
right.
We were staying there.
Were you communicating back home, writing letters?
Oh, yeah.
Did the people at home tell you what they were hearing about the war and about the bombings and the surrender?
Yeah, they, you know, you get the regular letter, everybody's fine, that kind of stuff.
So you were in Tokyo then for how long?
From maybe January to, I left, I guess, in November.
Okay. So almost that full year was just Tokyo.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And where did you go after Tokyo?
San Francisco.
So they loaded you on a ship again?
Yeah.
A troop ship?
Yeah, it was a smaller ship, though. Not as big as the one that we went out on.
Okay. Do you remember the name of the ship?
No. No. All I know is they come around at night looking for undershirts. The bearings were gone or something. They were going to pack the bearings. So... They were having a problem. But it only took 10 days to come back, though.
Okay, that was a lot faster than your trip
out
there.
Oh, yeah.
And where did you landed in San Francisco? You went straight from...
We landed in... it wasn't San Francisco. It was... I forget the name of the town. But it's right across the bay. Across the river. Oakland. Oakland is where we landed.
Okay. And what did you think when you saw the shore again?
Oh, it was great. Yes.
You were happy to be home.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, you can take a shower and they feed you and they give you, I guess everybody wanted milk and stuff because you never, you know.
You didn't get it while
you didn't get there. You get the powdered stuff, powdered eggs and.
Powdered everything.
So
what was that the first thing you had when you got back?
Well, I'm not a big milk guy.
Okay.
So I was able to take a nice shower, a warm shower, had a bunk bed, and that kind of stuff. It's more comfortable.
More comfortable than a cot.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And how long were you in Oakland?
Oh, couple of days and listen a day, just enough to get processed. They give you new shoes if you wanted, if you had, or field jackets, clothing.
Army clothing.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then you go from, we went from Oakland to Fort Sheridan.
By train.
And then they process you for discharge from there.
So from Fort Sheridan. Do you remember the date of your discharge or what month was it?
I'd have to look at my...
46, 47.
I have to look at my...
Okay.
Let me see.
And did your family know you were coming back?
No, I don't think so.
Did they have a telephone by this point?
No.
No, not yet.
Not yet. I can't see that right now.
Are you military?
Yeah.
Military ID?
Let me see. November 25th, I guess.
Of 1946?
Yeah. You can see that? It's kind of small.
Okay. Okay, yeah, that looks about right. So your family didn't know you were coming.
No.
So you finished at Fort Sheridan.
Right.
How did you get back home from there?
Oh, there's a train from Fort Sheridan to Chicago.
Okay, and so you just showed up at your parents' house?
I guess so. I don't remember, but I got there.
And what was their reaction when they saw you?
Oh, they were pretty glad to see me.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Did they invite people over? Did they?
No. I guess there was a wedding. My cousin was getting married in the next day or two or something when I got home. And so we went to the wedding, I guess.
You got to see a happy occasion.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you remember the first thing you did when you got back to your home?
Not really.
Mom cook another meal?
Yeah. That's all the time. All the time. Pasta.
Well, I didn't make sure you were well fed again.
Right.
And it wasn't powdered.
No.
Everything fresh.
Fresh, yeah. Yeah.
So after the wedding, then you got, you had some time at home.
Yeah.
Did you go to work? Did you go to school? What did you do?
Well, I was looking for a job. I didn't have much money because you're making $30 a month when I was in the service.
A dollar a day, pretty much.
Yeah. And so you don't have much money. So I'm looking to find a job someplace to accumulate some money.
Okay.
So I ended up going to work for General Electric. Yeah, I think it was General Electric, the first job.
Doing what?
So I was what they call a wireman, the wired control panels for motors, electric motors.
Okay.
So
You put the wires on the motors, or you?
No, you make a panel. You get a panel.
Okay.
You drill it all out, put the relays on it.
Okay.
And then wire it afterwards.
Okay.
And paint, put it in the cabinet, paint the cabinet, and all that. Yeah.
Okay.
Do everything. So, I did that for about 3-4 years. And I decided that. That's not for me. I went to school. I went to Northwestern.
Okay, on the GI Bill?
On the GI Bill, right.
Okay, and why did you pick Northwestern?
Well, if somebody's paying for it, I'm going to go for the best.
Okay. So you enrolled at Northwestern when? When did you start school there?
Maybe 48, something like that. I started out with night school.
Okay.
And then I stayed there at the Chicago night school, Kelly Hall.
Okay, so you did it all at night school?
Yeah. Yeah.
And during the day you were working?
I was working in
at General Electric?
I worked at General Electric for a while. And then after I had several classes in accounting, I took accounting classes. I got a job at a company called Cinch Manufacturing in the office.
Okay.
And I was doing some accounting there.
Okay.
And then I decided that I wanted to get more deeper accounting.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went to a company called Duncan Parking Meters to put all these parking meters in Chicago. So I worked there for a couple of years, and then I went to Admiral TV Appliances.
Okay.
In 1956, I was there, I think.
Okay.
In the meantime, I finished Northwestern. I got a diploma for business administration.
And when was that?
In 56.
56, okay.
Yeah. And so I stayed at Admiral in the accounting department, became the manager of the general accounting area. This is corporate.
Okay.
And until they had some mergers. Rockwell come in 75, they bought out the Admiral Company, and then a couple of years later, Maytag, Magic Chef bought out the Admiral portion. And Maytag come in and bought out
Magic Chef. So I walked with a bunch of companies.
But you stayed in the same place. It's just the company name changed every time.
Yeah, mostly in accounting. I was the accounting manager.
Okay.
And then they put their own people in, you know, and then you just.
Right.
You know, cash management and that type of stuff. The budget manager. I was budget manager for a while. Cash management. You get changed around.
You know. Right. Did you start a family?
Oh, yeah. I got married in 55. It was 55.
Okay.
Yeah.
And where did you settle down? Where did you live?
In Chicago.
In the city, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you had a couple kids?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And boys, girls?
I had a daughter. She's a school teacher. She's a counselor at Hinsdale Central now.
Okay.
A son. I had twins after that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So a nice sized family.
Yeah. Yeah. We lived in Cicero then. I bought a house in Cicero. When my daughter was born, she was maybe about 10 months old when we bought the house in Cicero.
Okay.
And so they all went to school in Cicero, all the kids. And I stayed there for about 38 years.
And when did you move out this way?
About 10 years ago, 10, 12 years ago.
And you moved to Darien?
To Westmont.
Westmont, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Did you keep in touch with any of the people that you were in the service with?
Yeah, with this fellow Frank, him and I were pretty much, he started Northwestern with him, and we were both in accounting. And we even both worked for Admiral at the time.
So the two of you really did stick together since you met in service.
Yeah.
Do you belong to any veterans organizations?
VFW. In Darien.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Do you participate in any reunions or anything else?
No, I haven't.
Okay. How did your military experience affect the way you think about the world today?
Well, you kind of understand what's going on. I mean, you got some feeling for some of the boys that are out there. Sometimes, in my own opinion, I don't think we should be out there. I don't know.
And how did it affect your personal life? Was it good for you? Was your service, did it help you in some way?
Oh, I'm glad I had the experience I think I had a lot of fun to begin with, even after the war was, you know, kind of, you know, not say enjoyable, but you had fun, you know,
right.
You're guys and you're doing different things, and it's a whole different type of thing. So
you got to see parts of the world you wouldn't have seen otherwise.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Is there anything that we haven't covered that you'd like to add? Before we finish the interview?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, in that case, thank you very much for sharing your story and for your service. And we are going to go off record.
Okay.